Hello, and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back on this Friday episode, and this has been a heck of a week to get through.
We've had quite a few tangents this week.
Yeah, I feel like sorry, listening audience, a lot of shit got cut out of this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, man. All right. Well, let's round it out because I'm anxious to get my hands on some of those frames. We got to start divvying those up.
Custody battle time.
That's
baby.
Right. I got a good lawyer with me.
Who?
He's in the car.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's why you left the window cracked.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I got it. Yeah it's cool. A humane thing to do.
Yeah.
It's got like a little piece of paper. It says AC's on, windows are down. I'm fine. So yeah, it's fine. All right. So we are talking about minute 104 through 105 today, and we are back with Raban on the ground.
Yep.
Fade's boot in front of him and his knife at his neck. Last minute ended with Fade saying, "You humiliated our family." And this minute starts with Fade saying, "You humiliated me. Kiss or die," which I feel like is a rather inappropriate pickup line.
Yeah.
It's yeah. A little aggressive, buddy. Just a smidge, right?
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how much I laughed when I saw Raban just like drooling on the ground here. It was not meant to be funny. But just knowing Dave Bautista and kind of not liking Fade, or not liking the character of Raban, just it was so funny to me. And this scene goes to show you really how much power Fade has over Raban.
Yeah.
Now, what's the age gap you think is here?
Are you going to correct me with the encyclopedia actually saying what their age gap
was? No, because it's different in whichever like version of Dune you read, it's different. So there is no confirmed.
I'm going to say it's like a 10 year.
Okay. I think it's,
I don't think they're close in age.
So book wise, I think it puts them at like something like 30 years apart.
What the shit?
Yeah.
Wait, 30 years old or 30 years apart?
Apart.
Okay.
So it's like, and I think this is extended Dune lore at this point. But like, Glaucu Raban's parents, like he was a fucked up kid, super aggressive, just very hearkening in his ways.
Yeah.
They wanted someone who was not that later in life. So they used fertility treatments to have a second son, Fade Ralpha. Spoiler, he was even more like that. So, yeah, but they had him super late in life. And yeah, so I think the book and encyclopedia put it at like a 40 year age gap. The TV shows and movies tend to go somewhere in between 10 and 20.
Yeah.
They're a lot closer in age in the on-screen adaptations.
I'd have guessed 10.
Yeah. And as Raban is like wincing and drooling and groveling, I guess this is a good word for it, he comes, just leans his face forward and kisses the shoe that's in front of him.
Well, before he does, so he's wincing and you start to see a trail of blood like go down his neck. So you can tell that Fade has like kind of poked the knife just enough in him to like urge him forward and everything. And then he fucking kisses the boot and then Fade's like, "All right, we're even now." And then just kind of
meanders off.
Yeah.
And the bulbous Baron.
The large lad himself.
He looks at Raban as he's getting up and he says, "Embarrass our family one more time. It will be your last."
So that line, I'm going to bring this back to a conversation we had a couple weeks ago when Fade was given governorship of Arrakis. You said, "All right, well, is Raban done?" And I said, "No." Mm-hmm. And this line kind of, to me, confirms that Vladimir still had plans and uses for Raban, and that he wasn't just going to kill him because he failed.
Yeah, clearly. that's uncharacteristically charitable for him.
It is, but at the same time with this line, it shows that he's also not afraid to take out the trash if he needs to.
Sure.
So.
Yep. We do not linger here.
No. In fact, the rest of the minute is just shots of the chaos of the aftermath of the attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We start outside and we're looking at the smoldering melted rock on top of the siege.
Just pitted.
Yeah. Like 15-year-old me's face. And the camera kind of flies past and we see a bunch of Fremen, you know, helping the wounded as they're,
mm-hmm.
you know, making their exodus from the siege.
Yep.
We see on the ground, you know, more of the people just kind of leaving. And we see, you know, those that can walk are walking. Those that are too hurt to walk are in that plastic tarp stretcher that we saw Jessica in when she took the water of life.
I thought they were carrying dead bodies out.
They might have been dead. They might have been wounded. You know, all we saw is that they were, you know, more of these stretchers and, you know, people were on their way out. There was a very obviously like healthy Fremen woman that was helping a more wounded, you know, person. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to this kid that I was talking about on Wednesday's episode.
Yep.
And, you know, he's definitely like bloodied up a little bit and he's not saying anything, but I think the camera takes the perspective of this kid walking through the chaos of the siege. And we're seeing, you know, more wounded people being helped. You know, they're crying out in pain and everything.
It's like active triage going on down there.
Yeah. We're seeing bodies, you know, getting mm-hmm. stacked up and everything in the corner. And it's just, you know, all hell has broken loose. And you know, we continue making our way through and we start hearing this really loud screeching
mm-hmm.
and we end our minute with a shot of this aviary and there's like birds flying around in there like crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where our minute ends.
It cuts off right there.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that. 'Cause I had the wrong word, down here. I said apiary, but that's bees.
Yeah.
Not birds.
If there were bees the size of these birds, that would be terrifying. If those bees were screeching, that would be even more terrifying.
Yeah, and those are the small ones.
Yeah. Look out for you be care of the small centipedes. Yeah. Small centipedes as I hold my arms 5 feet apart from each other.
Yeah, so birds screeching, don't like that. Not a huge fan of birds.
I mean, everyone knows they're just government drones.
Well, that's part of it. I don't know. It's just something about the little bony legs. They don't look like they should be able to support weight.
They don't walk around all the time. They just kind of like...
Yeah, they do. Pigeons walk around everywhere, dude. Sometimes pigeons walk around if they ain't got no feet.
That's true. I feel bad for pigeons. We domesticated them and then like,
said fuck you.
And then just said fuck you. And they just don't know what to do with themselves anymore. I know.
The treatment of pigeons is actually deplorable.
Yeah.
I grew up with some pet birds, like little budgies.
Yeah.
And they're just loud and messy. That's what I feel. I feel like I like birds.
Yeah.
I just don't like pet birds. Also, some of them live for a fucking long time.
Yeah. Parrots live like 80 plus years.
Yeah. That's not a pet. That's a family member.
Yeah. Well, hold on.
That's something
my pets are my family members.
No, but that's something that, you know, will likely outlive you.
Oh yeah. No, it happens all the time.
You have to inherit a bird.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. My, one of my sister-in-laws, is like actually scared of birds.
Mm-hmm.
And I, every Christmas I threaten to get their kids some like parrots or something. I think maybe this year I'm going to like buy some, bird related things like wood chips and maybe like some, little things that you would hang in a cage and have them open that up on Christmas. That'd be fun.
Oh, God, that would be... It'd be fucking hilarious, actually.
Yeah.
You'd have to let your brother know in advance. Just be like,
I want to see what he does, too. I don't give a shit.
Oh, God. But yeah, that's where we leave off with the chaos and, you know, madness of this post, you know, barrage of Siege Tabor.
Yeah. Well, John, what did you think about this week?
It wasn't my favorite week.
Hmm.
I think if I had to Shai Hulud this week, this one's probably a 4 for me.
Okay.
It's cool that we really get, you know, Harkonnen Attack Part 2, Fade Edition. And, you know, we're really moving.
Fade's version.
Fade's version. Yeah, exactly. we're really moving on with the plot to, you know, get Paul out of the North.
Yeah.
Not intentionally by Fade, but, you know, that's where we're heading. But, you know, we talked about it a lot earlier this week. The exclusion of the whole Leto II, the First thing, and the weird not giving Dune Part 2 the time jump that it needs to help, you know, make the story a little more impactful is, once again, compounding itself here, and it will continue to compound over the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I feel the same way for the same reasons. It's just the departures from the story are they're going to irk me.
Yeah.
Until we get like towards the end of the movie where we course correct a bit, not all the way, but a bit. This is just going to continue. So like I think there's a better way to tell this story.
Yeah.
And it's called Dune. They wrote it in a book.
Yeah.
And there's just, these things are not there. And I also don't feel like this is doing much to, or at least this week of minutes. And I'll give this to last week's of minutes as well. Not really doing anything to progress character development. It's showing cool attacks, which is fun to see.
Well, I mean, we got our first on-screen development between Fade and Rabin this week.
But that's not really development. We knew there was already
the development is that Fade made Rabin his bitch.
But we knew that already.
We hadn't seen it between the two of them.
Okay. It's the shining light.
Yeah.
In the otherwise darkness of this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just not my favorite. You were more generous than I was. I was going to go 3 on this one.
Right.
So.
Not my favorite week.
Not my favorite week either.
Next week, we've got some important stuff to talk about, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my favorite weeks are always going to be the weeks where I can actually tie the movie back to the books.
Yep.
And we can talk about the differences, compare and contrast. And it's been kind of a long time since I've been able to do that in any depth.
I think you'll be able to do a good bit of that next week.
Cool. Cool, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back on Monday with more episodes, as always. In the meantime, though, you can find us online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us that way. We'll see you later.
All right. See you then.